Pastor Michael E. Ton. I'm the senior pastor of the Bethlehem Baptist Church in Paul's Valley, Oklahoma. We're at 311 North Dunbar, 55 miles south of Oklahoma City. We want to welcome you to today's program. Today you're going to be listening to a word either from myself, my lovely wife Kimberly E. Ton, or associate minister at Bethlehem, or a teacher. But before we get into Word today, we just want to welcome those who are listening throughout our MySpace page at www.myspace.com/Pastor Michael E. Ton. That's E-A-T-O-N. Maybe listening through our church website at www.heargodsword@bethlehem.com or a podcast of the same name, Hear God's Word at Bethlehem, or through our Women of Divine Faith or other ministries all on the internet. Now, let's get into the Word.
Amen. Amen. We want to thank you for being in the household of the Lord tonight, and we pray that something will be said and done to encourage your heart in your walk of faith. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. I want to thank those of you who traveled to Angel Wing Baptist Church there in, where were we? I forgot where we were. Yeah, Stonewall, Oklahoma. And we had a real good time out there and had some good cooking, good food, and all that. I ran into some folk that knew Reverend Clay. They was asking about you, brother. So praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. Well, tonight we're going to continue in a series. It's actually the last in the series of which we've entitled this month, Make Him Known Through Giving. Make Him Known Through Giving. And we've been talking about tithes and offerings, encouraging you to honor the Lord in your giving throughout this whole month. And we've seen that if you want to be blessed, you have to give. Say to your neighbor. If you want to be blessed, you have to give. And we've seen that this is primary, one of the core values of what we should believe as Christians. Amen? Amen. Tonight, we're going to be looking at 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verses 1 through 4. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verses 1 through 4, in a message or a lesson entitled, How to Take an Offering. How to Take an Offering. And I want you to read this out loud together at the same time. We don't have any handouts tonight, so it's on your screen. This is the NIV, or in your Bibles, but this is the NIV on the screen. Let's read this out loud together at the same time on three. One, two, three.
Now about the collection for the Lord's people. Do what I showed the Galatian church to do. On the first day of every week, each one of you should set aside a sum of money in keeping with your income, saving it up, so that when I come, no collection will I have to be made. Amen. All right. I will give letters of introduction to the men you approve, and send them with your gift to the room. If it seems advisable for me to go also, they will accompany.
Amen. You may be seated in the household of the Lord. You may be seated in the household of the Lord. And tonight, again, we're sharing a message entitled, How to Take an Offering. How to Take an Offering. And we're going to see from this offering in the text, we're going to see that it was primary giving. We're going to see also that it was proportional giving. We're going to see also it was provision giving. We want Christians to know tonight, and really throughout this whole month, that Christians should plan to give strategically. Christians should plan to give strategically. In the text, it's a very unique thing that is happening in the text. For at this time in the history of the church, that mighty church that was in Jerusalem is now a church that's in need. So much so that Paul started to collect an offering from churches like Corinth, which was a new church, if you would, a church plant. And they're taking up an offering to give to the church at Jerusalem. And I always like to say, having been from Dallas, you need to be careful on how you do ministry. Because your church may be on top today, but next week or next year or 10 years from now, it could be at the bottom. And there in Dallas, Texas, you will notice over a 30-year period, there were churches who were primary churches. And 30 years later, you don't hear anything about those churches. And now you hear about churches like Bishop Jake's Church and Friendship West and IBOC and Concord and Oak Cliff Bible Fellowship. And these are all new kinds of churches. And all of those churches from 30 years ago who were the primary churches are not, shall we say, primary anymore. We have to be careful. We have to be careful, in our church to always want to remain alive. We got to be careful to always be concerned about evangelism. We have to be careful and always keeping God first, because, again, you may not know when your church could fall from its grace, or simply just go through hard times. And that's why I'm so glad that some of us have decided to go over to a little church over there in Stonewall, Oklahoma, to be encouragement to that church. And who knows, 20 years from now, they may be sending someone over to our place to encourage us as well. But in the church, we had that mighty church at Jerusalem, and now the time has changed, and Paul is now taking up an offering for the church in Jerusalem. And these are some of the things that he had to do and wanted to do when he took up this offering. First of all, he had to let them know that if you're going to take up an offering, it has to be a primary thing. You want to take up an offering, it has to be a proportional thing. You want to take up an offering, it has to be a provisional thing. And let's go on to point number one. It has to be a primary giving. In other words, he told them to take up this offering on the first day of the week. On the first day of the week. And that would be the same as most of us. A lot of us get paid on the first day of that first Monday of the week. You know, when I was younger, I was a pretty smart kid, and we weren't rich by no means, but I did know that if I wanted something, I had to judge my asking around the first day of the week, or when mama got paid. That's when I had to be ready to ask, because I know there was certain times into which mama got paid, and mama would always favor her baby boy. And on the first day of the week, we've got to be reminded to put God first. Whenever we get paid, we got to give him our offering on that first day. Say to your neighbor, keep God primary. On the first day, of every week. Some of us get paid every week. Some of us get paid every 2 weeks. Some of us get paid every 3 weeks. Some of us get paid once a month. But whenever your first day is, you need to put God's money up. Hello, somebody. Because if you don't give on that first day, if you don't put God's money up Oh, the devil will find ways to seek that money from you, to take that money from you. And you've got to always got to keep God primary, keep him first, even in giving, or mostly really, which shows where our heart is. Our finances really show where our heart is. So if you really want to show that you love God, you got to give to him first. Oh, I said the first day, I mean, to give to him first. Before you pay anybody else, who should you pay? You should pay God. You should pay God before you. But you say, preacher, you don't know my bills. If I pay God first, I may not have anything left over to pay my bills. Oh, maybe if you begin to put God first, you'll have even more left over. Hello, somebody. Oh, because he challenged us. We ought to see, oh, about this first day, that when we give him and put him first in this area, you're just not throwing your money away. You're trying or testing God. Oh, say to your neighbor, neighbor.
Neighbor.
Oh, neighbor. Put God first. Because that's what that Malachi text we talked about Sunday is all about. It's the first day of the week that you bring the whole tithes unto the storehouse, that there may be meat, the King James say, a food in my house. Test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that you will not have room enough for it. We put God first because we believe that God is Jehovah Jireh. Jehovah Jireh means what? Our God who provides. Oh, but he just doesn't provide. You've got to try him first. You've got to put him first. The first day of the week, the first bill that you pay. Oh, yeah, you need to think of God as a bill collector. You need to think of God as a text. We talked about this Sunday. We talked about giving God here and Caesar heals. It's mandatory. You've got to think about this. It's not an option. This is mandatory. You put him first. Say to your neighbor, neighbor, oh neighbor, you better put him first. And this is where the primary way that you put him first on the first day of the week, the first day, the first bill, put God first. And it says every week. And again, you're not throwing your money away. It's an investment. It's an investment that will pay off. Because again, this is the only place where God says to try me, test me. The only place in the Bible, the only place in the world, the only place in Christendom, the only place in Judaism where God says, suggest me, try me in this. Say to your neighbor, neighbor,
neighbor.
Oh, neighbor, try him. Try him. Put him first. This is how you take him an offering. The writer of 1 Corinthians was trying to let him know on the first day of every week, this is what you do. If you want God to be Jehovah Jireh, if you want to be able to sing that song, Jehovah Jireh, my provider, you better learn to test him. Oh, you better learn to give to him. You have a financial need. Oh, you better learn to give to him. You better learn to test him because there's somebody here. Oh, there's a bill too big for you to pay. But God is saying, oh, to try me. There's somebody here that may be in trouble and there's some. And you need some money to get you out of that trouble. You better try here. Oh, there's somebody here just simply wants to continue to be blessed. Oh, you better try him. Oh, giving. It's almost like forgiveness. Hello, somebody. You say, why are they alike? Well, if you hold a grudge against anybody and you don't forgive, then God won't forgive you, which means he will not answer your prayers. And it's the same way in giving. If you don't give to God, he may not answer your prayers because you're not giving him anything to work with. You see, giving is really really a sign of faith. Let me say it again. Giving is a sign of faith. One of the greatest ways that you can test God and try him so that you have faith in God is in your giving. You have faith that God is going to move. You need him to move to pay for this bill. And you have faith and you say, Lord, I leave and I'm going to give you my 10th part, my dime on every dollar. I'm going to give it to you and I'm going to trust you to take care of that bill. Not only that, Lord, I'm going to trust you to take care of my children's college. I'm going to trust you to take care of my hospital bill. I'm going to trust you. Oh, Lord, I'm going to trust you and I'm going to try you and take you for who you are. Who you are. How else can you explain generations of maids that used to give their dime on a dollar? I said that generation of maids, they came up every Sunday. They put a dollar in the plate every Sunday. You remember the story about how, the little child asked the mother, Mother, why is it that you only put a dollar in the plate? Why is it? And the mother said, well, I don't know. And then her mother went to her mother, which was the child's grandmother, and she asked her mother, why is it that you only put a dollar in the plate? And the grandmother said, well, that was 10% of my income as a maid. And God took that 10%. And he took that, and he took and used that money and sent every one of my children to college, and all of them has a college degree, and all of them are doing well right now because I took him at his word and I tried him. And that's why and how this church got built. Dr. Whitlow was talking about how it wasn't much money back in those days, but they gave their little and God took the little and made much, and we're living off of that little today, trying to make more out of it, and they made far less than what we made, but it seems like they had far more faith than what we had. And when they had that faith, God showed up and showed out. And God wants to do the same thing within this generation. He wants to show up and show out. But you've got to show him that you have faith in him. And you've got to try him in this area of giving. You've got to put him first. And when you put him first, miracles can happen. The floodgates of heaven can open up, and you can say, oh Lord, don't bless me no more because I don't have room enough to receive this. But Lord, you've got to stop blessing me because I don't have nowhere else to put my blessing. Hello, sir. Is there anybody in here saying it right now? Is there anybody? If you're not saying it right now, then you may not be trying him in this area of giving. You may not have faith enough to show him that you believe that he is God and God alone, and try him with your money, because when you do, God says that he will bless you. This is true, not prosperity preaching, but prosperous preaching, because prosperity just says, I want God to be my heavenly genie. Oh God, you bless me. Oh God, but prosperous teaching says that there is a blessing in obedience. Before he opens the windows of heaven, you've got to obey him. You've got to try him, take him at his word. And when you obey him, there's a blessing in obedience. And he will open the windows of heaven and pour out blessing. I love the NIV says that he'll open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that you will not have room enough to receive it. Is there anybody here tonight needs the windows of heaven to be open? Is there anybody in here tonight got a bill that they can't pay? Is there anybody in here tonight has a need that they can't meet? Is there anybody here tonight that's sick in their body but can't pay the doctor's bill? Maybe if you try God in the area of giving, he will open the windows of heaven and be Jehovah Rapha, our God, who heals, and he will heal you, and you won't have a doctor's bill no more. Somebody in here better learn to trust God. Somebody in here better learn to put him first where it counts the most. Say to your neighbor, neighbor, you better put him counts the most in Jesus' name. If you want to be blessed again, this is prosperous preaching, not prosperity preaching. Prosperity preaching says that God will bless you regardless. Prosperous preaching says that God will bless you when you're obedient. And in this text, we got to be the primary. God has to be primary in our offerings, and it must happen on the first day of every week. Not only that, but it has to be proportional giving. For the text says, on the first day of every week, each one of you should set aside a sum of money in keeping with your income. In keeping with your income. That's where we get proportional giving, in keeping with your income. And you've heard me say it throughout all this month. You know, we really don't know how much you give. The only way, that I can know how much you should give is that God tells us, to give a dime on every dollar, dime and offerings. Because when he said, will a man rob God? They posed the question and they played dumb. They said, how have we robbed you? He said, you robbed me in my tithes. That's a tenth part, a dime on every dollar. And he says, and offerings, which is over and above, that regular giving. So, if you want, to make sure that you're giving right, you've got to start with proportional giving, a dime on a dollar. A dime on a dollar, that means, if I made a dollar this week, I just give a dime. Hello, somebody, that ain't much, is it? A dime on a dollar, proportional giving. And you may appear to be giving God a whole lot, but God is saying, and he said in that text, it's like I said Sunday, there's a 211 in progress, robbery in progress, because in the text he says to bring the whole tithe. Which means that people weren't giving a whole tithe, they were just giving how much they just felt like it. Hello, somebody. And that's why giving has to be premeditated. Giving has to be systematic. How much did I make this week? Hello, somebody. That's what you need to think. Then you can say, how much did I can give? It's not something to be thought of when we take an offering on Sunday morning. That's not the time to think about how much you should be giving. As a matter of fact, you should have thought about that at home. You should have added up the numbers and seen all that came in. And then you should have decided from that what you need to give. It's not because, you know, if you give spontaneously, what you going to pull out? Hello, somebody. If I pass this plate around tonight, spontaneously, what would you give? Let's do a test trial. Nah, we ain't gonna do that. You probably just give a dollar, right? Tell the truth, say the devil. God said that this needs to be proportional. Each one of you should set aside a sum of money in keeping with your income. And I like this 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 3 says, for I testify that they gave as much as they were able. They gave as much as they were able. And then I like the second part, and even beyond their ability. Entirely on their own. You see, that's true giving. You know, the Lord loves a hilarious giver and hilarious givers. They give, and they give. They give what they're able to give, and they give beyond their ability, which means you don't have to just be stuck on 10%. Hello, somebody. And that's the danger of just teaching about a 10th part. God may want you to give more. And it's proportional to how you're living. Hello, somebody. Ask your neighbor. Poor neighbor, how you living? As I told you this and during this series, that J.C. Penney, oh, he gave above his ability, oh, above what he was able. He, of course, he was rich, so it should. It only makes sense that he began to, oh, give 90% of his money away and live off 10%. Hello, somebody. Have you got there yet? Have you learned to try God even above what you're... And this man was blessed and blessed beyond measure. He tried God and he figured out that guess what? He couldn't outgive God. Hello, somebody. Don't you know that you can't outgive God? Why don't you try him? He said, try me, test me, try me, and see when I give you a testimony. Test me and try me and see when I bless you. Test me and try me and see when I give you a testimony. And this Corinthians, 2 Corinthians, they said, I testify that they gave as much as they were able and even beyond their ability. And guess what? Entirely on the elders, and the best kind of offering is here. It's entirely on the elders, spontaneous offerings. And people just give. And we testified to that when we were here at our state convention. And Dr. Whitlow was talking about how he had a chance to go to the White House. And he said he had to, God provided for him. But then there was a spontaneous offering that was taken. Well, the men of God began to spontaneously give, to repay back what he had already given, because he was our president and we wanted him to represent us well, and we were willing to give, and it was a spontaneous offering, and everybody just gave and gave and gave, beyond our ability, entirely on our own. Dr. Whitlow didn't want the offerings, but I seen that text come to light where God says that your blessings can overtake you. And on that night, his blessings overtook him. And that's what God wants to show some of you. If you try him in this area, your blessing will overtake you. You'll be walking. Your blessing will knock you or tap you on your shoulder. Your blessing will tackle you. Your blessing will overtake you. When you try him in this area of giving, you want to see God move, then give to God. You want to see God work, then give to God. Again, this is faith. And give him, not just what you think, that you should be giving, but try and give a little more and see what happens. See what he opened the windows or the floodgates of heaven. And let it rain. Hello, somebody. This is true prosperity. And settle playing the lotto. Why don't you take that money that you would spend on the lotto and try God? Instead of being at the casino and giving all your money away, putting it, why don't you put that money in the offer and try God? Instead of playing pick six, I don't know what it is. Is it pick six, pick five, pick four? I don't know what it is. But instead of spending all your money trying to get rich that way, why don't you try God? Pick six for God. Pick five for God. That money that you'll be spending, that money that you'll be gambling, why don't you try God? I tell you, it's an investment that will pay off. I tell you, that you again can't outgive God. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. We want God to work and move and do all these miraculous miracles in our lives. And really, some of us really need him, and we need him bad. We need him more now than we've ever needed him before. We've got to show that we've got enough faith in God. We've got to show, that we can give primarily. We've got to show that we can give proportionally. And not only that, but we've got to show that, that we can, do some provision giving. Provision giving. The text says, on the fifth day of every week, each one of us should set aside a sum of money in keeping with our income. And check this out, saving it up. Saving it up. Saving it up. and that's what you have to do to give to God. You've got to save it up. Every time that you're blessed, save it up. Every time you get maybe something that you didn't plan to give, make sure you save it up, set apart God is. And the more you set up, and the more that you give, the more that you will be blessed. Some folk have asked me, should I tithe on the gross, or should I tithe on the net? Some folk have asked me, should I give a tithe on this check? Oh, that I wasn't planning to get. Should I give a tithe on this money that somebody slipped in my hand? Should I give a tithe on my income tax check? Should I give a tithe? And I always like to say, on what monies do you want to be blessed? What monies do you want the windows of heaven to open up? And most everybody say, all the money I want to be blessed on. And if you want to be blessed on all the money, guess what? Then you got to tithe, and you got to set aside, and you got to save up all your offering to God on all the money that you receive. And when you do that, you'll be even better blessed. You say, preacher, why do you say I should save it up? I'm glad you asked, because Leviticus give us a good look and what we're talking about. Leviticus 27 verse 30, it says a tithe of everything from the land, whether it's grain from the soil, or whether it's fruit from the trees, belong to the Lord, and it's holy to the Lord. God says, on whatever way I bless you, you need to give a tithe on every way I bless you. Everything, that I bless, whether it's grain, or whether it's fruit from the tree, it belongs to me. And that's why, maybe he said in the verse, to bring all the tithe, the whole tithe, because there were some folk that were only tithing on the grain. There were some folk that were only tithing on the fruit. There were some folk that were tithing on this but not that. And God says, you've been robbing me. Will a man rob God? Yes, a man will rob God. A man will rob God knowingly, and a man will rob God ignorantly. But tonight God is saying that I want to bless you. You don't have to be ignorant no more. And as a result of that, you don't have to be broke no more. Because when you apply these principles, then I can begin to work in your life. When you apply these principles of giving, then I can touch and make your body whole and well. When you apply these principles, then I can provide you with a wife or with a husband. When you begin to apply these principles, I can begin to take your finances from the red and from bankruptcy and begin to open the floodgates of heaven and let it rain in your life. When you apply these principles, you can untie my hand and I can move with my righteous right hand and I can come down to earth to see about you. Maybe that's why mama them, who were Titus, used to say that he is a doctor in an operating room. Why is that? Because they tried him. He is a lawyer in a courtroom. Why is that? Because they tried him. He can be whatever you need him to be, but you got to unleash. I said you got to loose him, untie his hand and begin to trust him in this area of giving. And then when you trust him in this area of giving, he can become that God that Moses was introduced to. Moses said, I'm nobody, and I come from no place. Whom shall I say sent me? And God said, tell him, I am that I am. Why did he say I am that I am? The old preacher said, he said that I am that I am, because he would become everything that he needed Moses. Everything that Moses needed him to be to release the people from captivity.
captivity. He was miracles. He was deliverance. He was setting folk free. He was giving them finances, because he told them just to ask and they would receive. And just by asking Egypt, they plundered Egypt. Oh, God is what you need him to be. God is the same God yesterday, today, and today. So why is it that we don't see that miraculous God? Why is it that we don't see the God that I am? Well, we don't see him because we have his hands tied, because we don't give. Oh, and when we don't give, it's symbolic of us not living, because if you're not living right, you ain't gonna give right. And if you don't give right, you ain't gonna live right. Hello, somebody up in here. God is trying to set his people free. God is trying to untie his hands here in Paul's valley. So why don't you try him? Why don't you test him and see, won't he show up and show out in your life? Say to your neighbor, neighbor, oh neighbor, you better try him in Jesus' name. You better try him in Jesus' name, because when you try him, he'll work on your behalf. When you try him, he will set you free. He will deliver you. He will heal. He will be the great God of I am. Great God of I am. We've got to learn to untie his hands. Hello, somebody. We untie God's hands by trying him in this area of giving. This area where it shows where our heart really is. This area in this place with money, for the Bible says that the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. People do some crazy things to get money. God is saying to his Christian people, to his church, you don't have to be like that. You don't have to be like that. Just try me. I'm a greater power. I'm going to end this and then we're going to pray. I heard this story told. I forgot who I heard it from, but I heard that a little girl asked her daddy for $100. And her daddy said, well, I'll come shopping with you. And the little girl said, no, daddy, you don't have to come shopping with me. All I want is $100. And the daddy said, well, okay. The little girl was happy as she went, and she took that $100 back to her mother and said, Mama, come on, let's go shopping. And the mother looked at the little girl and was puzzled at the $100. She looked almost like she was kind of disappointed. And she said, no, baby, take that $100 back and let's get your daddy to go shopping with us. And the little girl was kind of upset. I don't want to give back this hundred. I don't want to give back this $100. Dad gave me this $100 so we can go shopping. And the mother was persistent. No, baby girl, just take the $100 back. Get up in your daddy's lap and say, Daddy, I want you to go with me. So the little girl didn't really understand. And the mama had to tell her, baby girl, you see, if you just took that $100 and you went shopping, you would only have $100. But I know your daddy got a whole lot more than $100. So you need to get your daddy to go shopping with you. And that's what God is trying to get us to do this month. We want to take our little $100 and do what we want. Oh, but if we're willing to give it back and say, Heavenly Father, I need you to go. I need you to go shopping with me. Don't you know that your Heavenly Father has much more than $100? I think I heard the word say that my God owns a cattle on 1,000 hills. And I really didn't know what that meant until I came to Oklahoma and I traveled down 35 and I saw all these cattle on a on a hill, and I saw all this cattle, and this cattle represent money. Oh, it's symbolic, like stocks and bonds that God owns. Oh, the cattle on a thousand, he owns everything. He owns everything. In my personal devotion, it says that God will not withhold any good thing from the righteous. Hello, somebody. But you've got to be righteous. You've got to trust him in this. You got to give that little $100 back. See, that $100 for you is the tithe. Hello, somebody. Hello, somebody. Give it back so that God can go shopping with you. Hello, somebody. Shall we pray? Father God, we thank you and praise your holy name. For your truly worthy to be praised. We thank you, Father, for your word, Lord, this whole month, Father, because you're really showing us how we can truly be blessed, Father. This has been a provision, a series. You have shown us, Lord, this month how we can truly be prosperous, how we can truly open the windows of heaven, how we can truly be blessed. And everybody at the sound of my voice wants to be blessed, including the voice itself, Father. We all want to be blessed. So we pray, Father, that you will enable us, to put giving and make it a primary thing, that before we pay anybody else, Lord, we would pay you in Jesus' name. Not only that, but we will pay you proportionally, Father, that we will try you, Father, that we will give a dime on every dollar, or that we might even maybe able to give more, and to try you and to see what you open the windows of heaven. Grandmama and them used to say, oh, but this generation, from the NIV, say, open the floodgates of heaven, Father, and let it rain. There's somebody here, who's decided in their hearts, decided in their minds that they're going to do better. Oh, Father, and there's somebody here who's decided in their hearts that they're going to do better and they're going to obey. And I pray, Father, that just because they've decided tonight to do better and that they will do better, that you will open the windows of heaven. Lord, somebody came here tonight needing that window to be open. Somebody came here tonight not knowing how they're going to pay a bill, not knowing how their grandbaby's going to make it, not knowing. Oh, but you showed them the way tonight. Oh, for your word tells us to trust in you with all of our heart and to lean not to our own understanding, but in all of our ways, including our money, to acknowledge you and give it and see what you make our path straight. And Father, you're making our path straight, and you're opening, Lord, because somebody decided tonight, you're opening the windows of heaven, and you're going to bless them, Father. And I pray, Lord, that you would bless them, Father. I pray, Lord, that you would bless everyone at the sound of my voice who decides to obey, Father, because there's a blessing in obedience, Lord, in Jesus' name. And I'm praying, Lord, you bless everyone here tonight that will obey, that you bless everyone at the sound of my voice that will obey. I pray, Father, that you will show up and show out in their lives, that you will give them a testimony, that you will bless them so much that they have to come back to the household of the Lord and testify about the God that they serve, and testify about a true and living God. Testify that same God that told Moses that I am, that same God is the same God that lives here today, right here in Paul's valley, right here process from when it was, oh Lord, show up and show out in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, somebody needs you tonight. Somebody is crying out in the midst of their heart, in the midst of their mind. Oh, they're at peace. It looks like on the surface, but they're desperate down deep in the inner recess of their hearts and of their minds. And I pray that you will move on their behalf. I pray for comfort. I pray for deliverance. I pray that somebody is being set free tonight. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Father, open those floodgates. And let it rain, Father. Let it rain on the individuals. But not only that, but let it rain on us as a church. As a church body, Father. For we want to build. We believe that you're telling us to build. And we're waiting and looking and seeing and acting upon what we see. And asking, Lord, that you continue to open the floodgates of heaven and let it rain so much so. Oh, that somewhere in the near future, oh, that a building will manifest itself. A building that some folk couldn't see, but a building that some folk do see, and they see it by faith. They see it by their giving. They saw it like Brother Cummings. Oh, Lord, help us, oh, to try you and to trust you in our area of giving, Lord, oh, to the new building in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Lord, somebody needs you tonight. And I pray, Lord, that you will touch them, Father, right now. I pray for peace of mind right now in Jesus' name. I pray for joy, Father, right now in Jesus' name. I pray for hope, Father, right now in Jesus' name. I pray for faith, Father, right now in Jesus' name. The faith of a mustard seed that can speak to the mountains in their lives, and that the mountains be moved, Father, in Jesus' name. I said, mountains be moved in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, Father, we need thee, Father. Oh, we need thee, Father. Right now, Father, we need thee. Bless us now, oh, gentle Savior. We come to you, Father, because you're the only help that we know, Father. You're the only help that we need to know, Father. In Jesus' name, we thank you, Father. We praise you. We glorify your holy name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name.
Amen. Hello again. Praise this is Lord. Pastor Michael Eaton. Right, I've been your host for today's program. And before we sign off, we just want to make sure that you have a personal relationship with God. You know, many people are waiting to have a personal relationship with God. They're waiting because they're trying to clean up their life or get right with God, to stop smoking or cursing before they come to the house of the Lord. And you know what I tell them? There's nothing that you can do or stop doing that would make you right for a relationship with God. The thing that you must do, however, is take God's provision. You see, in order to get right with God, you have to meet him on his terms, and his terms is Jesus Christ. The Bible said, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. And the Bible says that we have all sinned and come short of the glory of God. But the Bible also said that God demonstrated his love towards us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died. God's only Son, God's love, Christ died for us. So in order to get right with God, you have to accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And you can do that today by praying this simple prayer. Dear God, I confess with my mouth the Lord Jesus, and I believe in my heart that Jesus died for my sins, was buried, and rose again on the third day. Dear God, come into my life, come into my heart as my Lord and Savior. Amen. And praise the Lord. If you prayed that prayer for the first time, then the angels in heaven are rejoicing. For now you are a child of the living King. Because you're a child of the living King, you have to find God's family, and that's what the church is. The church is God's family here on earth. With love, believe by faith that you've been born to the household of faith here at Bethlehem. Again, we're at 311 North Dunbar in Paul's Valley, Oklahoma, 55 miles south of Oklahoma City. We'd love to see you in our services. But if you're listening throughout the world, listening throughout the United States, Canada, United Kingdom, or even China, we're going to pray that God will deliver you to a Bible-believing, Bible-teaching, Bible-living church where you can grow up in the things of God. We want to thank you once again for listening. And again, if you prayed that prayer for the first time, you need to find a church home. A baby born needs to be a baby born in the family, because babies can't make it on their own. And if you prayed that prayer for the first time, you are a spiritual baby.
Thank you for
and you must find a church home. Again, we want to thank you for joining us today. And I'm going to give us a final benediction. A benediction is a final blessing. Father God, we thank you, Lord, and we pray in Jesus' name that you would bless everyone at the sound of my voice, especially the new children of God. Deliver them safely to a church home and put your hedge of protection around us all. Keep us safe from all harm and danger until we meet again, either here in Cyber Church or in the service. We thank you, Father God, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Hello again. This and is Pastor Mike Wheaton, the senior pastor of the Bethlehem Baptist Church in Paul's Valley, Oklahoma. We want to take this opportunity to see if God used this message in your heart, if your life has changed, if God really spoke to you and touched your heart and changed the moment in your life. We just want to thank God for how he's working in your life, but we also want to take this opportunity to see if we can get you to sow a seed in the life of our church. Right now, we're entering into a building program, and we've calling this program Vision to Reality. And this is phase one of our building program, and I've told many of our members, you know, I may not serve at a mega church, but I do serve a mega God. Not living in a mega city. This is Paul's Valley. But we serve a mega God because we're heard all over the United States and different countries and kingdoms. And we're believing that God owns the cattle on a thousand hills where you are. And if you take a moment and go to our church website at www.heargodsword@bethlehem.com. And you can hear it. Tap the link on the MySpace page or just go to the front page of our website at www.heargodsword@bethlehem.com and scroll to the bottom there. You'll see Vision to Reality, and that's where you can give to the building. And we want to do it kind of just like Obama did it. He raised his funds. It was just people, ordinary, everyday people, $25 that helped him to raise millions of dollars in an economy that people were saying that is depressed. I think that's God, and I believe God can do it for us, and we want you to give. Once again now, if God has touched and moved and worked in your life as a result of you listening to this ministry, we want you to give to Vision to Reality and help us to make our building here in Paul's Valley, state-of-the-art building, a reality, because you've taken time to give $25, $50, $10, $100, and you may be able to do more. Whatever God is laying on your heart, we need you so we can build this vision to a reality. May God bless you and keep you is my prayer. Again, go to the website, www.heargodsword.com.